guys. Good evening, everyone. We are the F1 India community, and this is our podcast today for the qualifying round in Imola at the second race weekend. Great. So we have with us today Tanay Agrawal, Shubham Day, Arvind, and Ishan, who are here to discuss the immensely packed, entertaining package of a qualifying performance that we had today. Starting off with Q1. Guys, what's your thoughts on the Yuki Tsunoda episode that just happened?
That is sad to say. We had huge expectations from Yuki, but he bottled it up at, I think, turn 14, 15, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So when I was going through the replay, I saw that he took too much curve on the turn 14 side, and that's why he's punched.
The variante alpha chicken.
I'm sorry, we couldn't hear you, Ishan. You were saying?
Yeah, he made a big mistake entering turn 14, 15, the variante alpha chicken.
Right. I think he pushed the car to the limit very early on in the qualifying performance.
He took a lot of that curb. I guess it was turn nine. I guess, and that just disbalanced the car. And he tried to correct that position, but in the end, he ended up in the barrier.
Yeah, he tried to count the steer, but he was on the wall. Yeah, exactly. He was very unhappy when he was at the interview. Didn't seem too happy about his performance.
Right. And I mean, the other four cars that were knocked out were the Haases and the Alfa Romeos. Were they a surprise to be knocked out? Because Haas were not, definitely, but I personally was expecting, you know, the Romeos to actually compete in Q2. But what are your thoughts on that?
I especially felt that Giovinazzi had that pace to prove it, but he couldn't. And it seems pretty sad to see that.
When starting his lap.
Right. Arvind, what are your thoughts? I mean, were you surprised by Williams qualifying for Q2, or were you disappointed by the Romeos getting knocked out in Q3?
First of all, I was surprised when he went fast in Russell. It was a really good lap. Very good lap. And of course, after in Q2, Russell again maintained his record of out-qualifying his teammate in Williams. And it was a surprise for me to see Alphas not going through Q3, because I thought they really had the pace this year. Even in Bahrain, they had pace. Even in testing, they were looking good. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of expecting them in Q2 to be not expecting them to be not.
Exactly.
So this was a thought which I wanted to ask you all about. What could the reason possibly be the red flag that was caused, because you know it caused a kind of a delay in the qualifying session, or you know was it independent and it was what happened was meant to happen?
I personally feel that red flag had caused a lot of problems, because there were almost 12 minutes left and everyone had bunched up on each other after that red flag.
Yeah,
I mean, right. 15 minutes aren't enough for a proper lap for many teams, maybe. Maybe for some, but not for others. So I guess it was a problem.
I also agree with Arvind that Haas, not that shocking, end up in not qualifying for Q2. But yes, Alfa Romeo was a bit unfortunate. They lost just by a little slender margin. And yes, the red flag did affect, I think, a little bit, because many of the drivers were on their fast laps and they could set a time, but unfortunate for them.
Right. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah,
go ahead, Alan.
We even saw the replay, right? On board of Antonio. Like he was on a fast lap, and even Mazepin was also on a fast lap. So both were almost like racing together. And I guess that costed Antonio with a couple of seconds, a couple of tenths. Otherwise, he could have got through Q3. So like the Haas kind of it, they all bunched up in the track. So and it, since it's a narrow track, obviously, it'll affect your lap.
Right. And I totally agree, because when once the Q3 timer went off, and once we saw Latifi, over qualifying his teammate Russell, I think all of our hearts skipped the beat, and we were thinking what's going on. But yeah, in fact, this track actually proved to be a strong point for the Williams car, because over the three practice sessions that we had, the Williams actually had an advantage on the pace compared to the Alfa Romeos.
They had decent pace, actually. I personally felt that Williams have made a major improvement with all that funding from Darlington. And over the winter, they have made a better car all together. Plus, I've seen Latifi develop as a driver. He's consistently coming closer to Russell over a single lap comparison in quali.
Right.
So consistency might earn him a better seat. Who knows?
Correct. Absolutely. Well, moving on to qualifying 2, wasn't much big of a surprise, but I mean the biggest disappointment, I would say, would be Carlos Sainz. Wouldn't you all agree?
Yes, and I also think Sebastian Vettel.
I think
also.
I should talk about another one, and that was Alpine Ocon. Not actually Ocon, it's Alonso.
It was Alonso who qualified
Alonso
on the
15th. Got defeated by Ocon. Now that's a big thing.
Right. That's a big thing.
Yeah, the last time.
And also, I was heartbroken by Sebs. He was close on P10. We were all feeling he might go to Q3. And then
but somewhere down the line we actually felt that Sebastian needs more time in that car, given car has a disadvantage like the Mercedes due to the rakes and the new rules not being favorable for them. And I think Sebastian is going to take some time, but he's surely going to get into that the Q1s, and surely we're going to see him race for a podium sometime soon. What y'all say?
Yeah. I agree.
Go ahead.
Actually, I think Aston Martin will be focusing on the 2022 car more, because the next year will be a big pressure on all the teams regarding their regulations and aero rules. So I personally feel next year is what Aston Martin should be preparing on. They can prepare for the current year a bit more. As Otmar has said, he will go against the FIA. Let's see what happens about that. But I personally feel Aston Martin should focus on the next year. Who knows? Sebastian Vettel might come back as a champion. Who knows? I mean, what pace he had shown at Bahrain, it was certainly a bit better today. And about race pace, let's see tomorrow what can happen. If it rains, who knows? Sebastian Vettel is a master in the rain.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And also the fact that Aston Martin, being a manufacturer, they have also invested in new factories for the team. So it's it's just a matter of a couple of years, and we can see Aston Martin, Mercedes, and Red Bull fighting it out for the title.
Even Ferrari also.
Tanay, you wanted to say something? Go ahead.
Yes, I agree with you, Brandon, that I think out of that five pack, I think Carlos Sainz was the most unfortunate one. Made it to Q1, but just because of a few seconds, I say. And we know that car is capable. We saw today, we saw in Bahrain that Leclerc banging that P4. Perfect for Ferrari, and I'm a little unfortunate. Let's hope that he makes up for that in the race.
Right, I agree, because Ferrari on qualifying and race pace proved to be in the top three, and even I was kind of looking forward to a second row or a third row Ferrari pair. But yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate that Carlos Sainz actually narrowed the timer down and came out in the last few minutes of qualifying too, and he bottled it up, and then unfortunately put in a yellow middle sector, and he qualified P11. Is there anything you wanted to add, Ishan, to this, to Q2? Anything that surprised you?
Yeah, Norris is pit.
I'm sorry, Ishan.
Norris was very fast, and I thought like from that we could see maybe he could contend to be on the podium of qualifying.
Right. All right, guys, moving to the most controversial part of the evening, I suppose. That's Q1. I mean, what a thriller. 10 minutes, but what a thriller. It was amazing to see few cars, and it was heartbreaking for some. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, that's Lando Norris. Three purple sectors, and after all, it was the track limits that brings you down. What are your thoughts?
That proves Lando is actually worth a championship. And actually, I personally feel Lando is perfectly in McLaren. I saw Norris, I also saw Ricardo. Ricardo isn't that much comfortable. He might take some more 2 to 5 races after. He might see a better Ricardo space. But Lando, man, he's last year. Again, this year, he's proving his worth again. Many might say he's kind of a pay driver, but I personally feel he's pretty good in his space.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on this? Yeah.
Yeah. When Lando was putting on all purple sectors, there was like kind of 5-10 seconds where the commentators weren't concentrating on him, and the timer below was showing Lando going all purple sector one, sector two, and I was like, stop talking about the Lewis. Stop talking about Lewis and Verstappen. Look at that, Lando. I was kind of expecting them to talk. Like I was on my toes really, and.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, talk about sandbagging the first two practice sessions. And Lando came out a star in practice session 3. I mean, that was a total banger that he had put in. Yeah. And some of us were quite surprised. I mean, I suppose the other teams as well were surprised with the pace that the McLaren showed. But at the same time, knowing that the McLaren team has started developing their car around Lando, as they mentioned during the launch. And, we were surprised to see Ricardo trailing behind. Wasn't that a surprise to us?
Yeah. Before on, Ricardo isn't good in the car as of now. Last race, it was a different thing because he had a wing damage. But let's see. Ricardo is one of those drivers who can push us a bull car to a higher level. I mean, last year he did the same with Renault.
Yes, I also feel that he can go. First of all, he's new to that team. He's still adapting to that car, that setup, that car being different from one at Renault. And he too adjusted at Renault. He took 1 year to adjust at Renault. Then that podium came during his second run. And we need to give Ricardo some time. I think not 1 year, but few races and he'll back in the podium finishes or at least fighting for them.
Right. I'd say Ricardo and although Sebastian doesn't have that kind of a car, but McLaren have proven to be fast. And for me, Ricardo is taking, a bit of some time to quite adjust to his position and agree. The driving skill that the car actually requires.
Agree. Totally agree.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
And
go ahead, Arvind. Want to add something? Yeah.
Yeah, and it is like it was surprised to see that Lance didn't set any time.
Like, yeah, actually, Lance didn't set a time. I believe that was there could be have possibly been an issue with this car.
Yeah, most likely.
I don't think we have any information on that, but yeah, we'll follow up and let's see what was up with Lance not actually putting in a qualifying time. Anyways, the second point that I'd like to add was Valtteri Bottas. What actually happened? Everyone wants to know what happened to Bottas in qualifying three.
Yeah, he was actually pretty fast during practice. Thought he'll be in top three, but yeah, he's kind of one among those drivers who are under pressure this season. Like that is another guy who's waiting for his seat. He is like one among few of them who is under extreme pressure, and he has to deliver. He's not much of an over. So and also this track. I don't know what to expect from him tomorrow, but yeah, anything can happen.
I personally feel Bottas was on older tires, I guess. Or maybe Mercedes told him to hold position. Maybe that could be possible. Or maybe protect his engine for the race. That could be also a reason.
Right, and but don't you feel if Mercedes actually wanted or to protect the engine, why would they risk Bottas putting in a flyer of a lap? I mean, we saw him struggle. And somewhere, I agree with Arvind, somewhere it could have been the pressure building upon him since this is a championship that he could actually contend for and being a new season. But I feel somewhere down the line, something lacked. But I can't really put my finger as to what it actually was. I totally agree with the Mercedes part of protecting the engine, but then sending him out on two laps, well, that was a big of a question if they actually wanted to protect
it. Yeah. And also, they don't want, Mercedes don't want two Red Bulls fighting them. They want at least, they want two cars to be fighting them. Now it's like the reverse of Bahrain. In Bahrain, we had two one Red Bull, and now we have two Red Bulls fighting one Mercedes. So, advantage for Red Bull tomorrow. And Mercedes, I think they might have been expecting Valtteri to be up the order so that they could challenge properly Red Bull this time.
And I think that was the last thing that Mercedes actually wanted was Red Bull in P2 and P3 with only one Mercedes car being out there. Because as we all know, this track, Imola, actually favors Red Bull. And, given that Mercedes are already at a disadvantage, given the rake of the car, it's really hard luck. But you never know what's to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. Let's talk about Checo for a minute.
Yeah, actually, moving on to the Red Bulls.
Red Bulls and Alfa Tauri of Gasly. Again, consistent quality. E5.
Yeah.
Just like Bahrain.
Yeah, and Gasly put in a flyer of a lap there, just short of Leclerc. And Perez coming out of nowhere, you know. Saw him well up over the practice sessions. He showed improvement on the race pace and quality pace.
And he had a shunt with Ocon.
Which actually led to a lot of loss of time for him to actually get used to the track.
Coming to the Red Bulls, I think that Max would have taken that P2 if it hadn't been for he going off at Tamburello. I think it's the car just oversteer and he took to the gravel and he lost, I think, two, three seconds there. Couldn't nail that lap. And let's hope for the best for Verstappen. I think he could finally break his bad luck in Italy by taking a podium or even, in fact, a win.
And I was like, he's here for Gasly. he might break his bad luck at Imola, just like last year.
Yeah, just like last year. Last year was really unfortunate. And
like he qualified P4, and then 9 laps later, boom, he goes out.
Yeah, I believe that was a race when Danny Kvyat actually showed how strong the Tories were at this track. Yeah, in their home race track. Yeah. And also a point that I'd like to actually put out is that how important grid positions are at this track, knowing how narrow the roads actually are, because you know, you can't really overtake at many junctions in this track. So it all matters on your strategy, which is very important, which is going to be super important at this race. It also comes down to your grid positions, as I mentioned, but also down to that first corner. I mean, that's going to be really interesting.
Also slipstream.
Who takes off.
Slipstream.
And also the slipstream. I agree. Yeah, so Hamilton has got to watch out for Max over there. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you, Brandon.
Go ahead, Tane.
And I agree with you, Brandon, that there are not many overtaking opportunities here. Like, I guess one or two in that last sector where last year Verstappen overtake Bottas. That is one. Coming into turn one, you can use the slipstream. And the strategy... part here, as it's one of the longest pit lane, so people starting on the soft compound tire, I think that have a slight disadvantage than that starting on the medium tires.
Right. I think that's where the back of the pack. I think that's where back of the pack actually come to an advantage. Where they get a free choice of tires. If I'm not wrong.
Yes.
So, exactly. So as I mentioned before, adding to you, Tane, that, you know, it actually comes down to the strategy as well. And as we all know, Perez is a master of tire strategies.
Yes.
So it's going to be really interesting because we have a mixed lot with people with a lot of mixed skills distributed along the track, you know. Like to add anything, Arvind?
Yeah. And as Brandon and Tane told, it's down to the strategy. Yes, absolutely, it's going to depend on the strategy because here in Imola, the pit lane, it is the longest pit lane of the season. So you're going to lose a lot of time if you're going for double stopper, so which is not recommended. And I guess everybody will be looking for one stops and on pit lane, they don't want to lose time in pitting twice. And so everybody, the strategy is, I guess it's going to be a one stopper. But since Perez, Charles, most of them are starting on soft, it's going to be interesting how they play out with the strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, one last question for Q1. Last year at Imola, Charles Leclerc qualified P4 and finished the race P5. Given that Ferrari have made improvements this year as well, Charles Leclerc has again qualified P4. Do you think he could move up this race?
See, me being a Ferrari fan, go ahead, Shubham.
Okay, Shubham, go ahead first.
I personally feel Red Bull and AlphaTauri will try to block as much as possible of Ferrari's moves. Because I personally feel Red Bull are pretty strong.
Collectively?
Collectively? Yeah, exactly. Collectively. If Red Bull's bad luck with Max in Italy does not happen, I don't think it's very likely to see Ferrari on podium unless Lewis has a very bad luck with the pit, or maybe he loses his position to Max or Perez.
So would you recommend Red Bull and AlphaTauri actually blocking out a potential Ferrari, or would you recommend Max going for P1 using the slipstream?
I probably would say Max going P1 for using the slipstream. But again, it could be Perez also, because both are equally.
It could be
strong.
Exactly. So that actually, knowing that Charles Leclerc has, qualified P4, so that puts him behind Perez, right? So yeah. He used to be quite a lot of quite aggressive with the SF 1000 last year. And knowing that this car is much stable and more balanced, as the way he put it, I feel, you know, he's going to use every opportunity possible to gain a podium at the home track. Don't y'all think, Arvind?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes. Coming to you, Brandon, that I personally, being Ferrari fan, I'm optimistic that Charles will end up on the podium. But see, fighting alone in that pack middle. Because as Shubham said, that two Red Bulls front of him, they are pushing. Then behind, there's the two McLarens that coming. And if Bottas, he could overtake, then he's also a problem. So Charles would be, I think, under pressure performing, considering pressure from the front, pressure from the back, and Gasly also. So I feel he could, he just puts his head down, calm down, and he just focuses on his driving, extracting as much as he can from that Ferrari, and hope for the best for him.
Right, right, right. Actually, good point there, Tanay, because, you know, not having the teammate around you, you know, could actually prove to be a disadvantage. And,
considering that Carlos may gain 1, 2, 3 positions, but coming from that 11th place to down somewhere 5th or 6th, it will be a challenge for him.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add, Arvind?
Yeah, and speaking of podium for Charles, quite practically speaking, I guess it's going to be hard since we have Red Bulls and two Red Bulls and.
Right. I think we lost Arvind. I think he got disconnected.
Yes. Okay, one thing I want to add, Brandon, that Charles has a chance at the podium if Hamilton has some kind of wrong with the strategy. As we have seen earlier that sometimes Mercedes get that wrong. And Monza won very lost 10 seconds because of pit lane closure. I am very optimistic about Charles. And I hope he gets that podium. But difficult for him.
I personally feel, Tanay, that it might be also possible that Red Bulls take the lead at the first lap and then they try to block like either Checo, and most likely Checo will try to block him, his move, and most likely Charles will be able to move around him.
Agreed.
Yeah. Because if he tries to block him, his tires would surely wear out.
Yes, man. And he's and he does not have a teammate behind who's pushing him. He's alone in that pack.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a lone wolf there.
Bottas would most likely be staying P8 or P7. Most likely pushing him hard is difficult. Let's see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where Bottas actually lands up, because given the disadvantage of the Mercedes and being back down in the pack, let's see what advantage he has over the other drivers. Yeah, Arvind, go on.
Yeah, to continue. Yeah, it's. I think it's going to be difficult for Charles. He can maintain position. Like, he can hold the grid position. Finish P4. That's the best he can do, because it's totally a different fight for Charles. He's going to be among AlphaTauri. That is Pierre Gasly. And we have Lando, like, who's looking really good on this track, and we have Ricardo also, and we might also have Bottas joining them, and it's going to be a different fight for top three, Lewis, Checo, and Max. But unless and until there is any first lap shenanigans that happened in Bahrain last time, when Checo, Max, and Charles came together, you know what happened, right?
I agree. That was in Bahrain last year.
Right.
So,
but then Checo went on from P20 to P1.
Yeah, win. If they avoid any first lap risk and stay away, I guess it'll be a good race. And if there is any red flag, then there might be a chance as well.
Great, great. Ishan, you want to add something before we move to the last part of the predictions?
No, I'm fine.
You good?
Yeah, we can move on.
Okay, cool. So, guys, moving on to the predictions, you know, all of us believe, like, after every qualifying race, that all of us imagine what's going to happen right down to the first corner. So, let's take two predictions here. One, given the data and what we saw today, the top three on your podium, the top three who can make the podium, and also the fantasy podium, like, who do you all want to watch on the podium? Whom do you all want to watch on the podium? So, first, Shubham, you can go ahead with your potential podium and your fantasy podium.
Potential podium, I would say Max, Perez, and Hamilton. And fantasy podium, I want it to be Perez, Gasly, and Leclerc.
Great, great, great. Tane?
Potential podium, I'm going with Verstappen, Perez, and Hamilton. And fantasy podium, I'm going with Perez, Verstappen, and Leclerc.
Arvind?
Yeah, and potential podium, I'm going to go with the Tire Master, Checo, P1, P2 for Max, and P3 for Lewis. Fantasy, I'm going to go with Max, Checo, and Leclerc.
Okay, and Ishan? Ishan, can you hear us?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that Hamilton will win, followed by Verstappen and then Perez.
Okay, and your fantasy podium?
Same podium.
Okay. Well, adding to the last, I think I'll name out my top three. So my potential podium would be since Max, I want Max to break the curse. So and Max, given that he's on P2 P3, so I would say Max, Hamilton, and Checo. And fantasy would be I think Checo, Leclerc, and Gasly. Great guys, having y'all here. Looking forward to hearing from y'all after the race tomorrow, and immensely staring at the clock to go faster, you know, to actually race down to the weekend tomorrow, and we see what happens at Imola. Yeah,
that's we are gonna let's see.
Yeah. It's all about tomorrow, what will happen.
Yeah, it all lies in the hands.
If the weather goes westwards, then it will be more fun with the rain.
Yeah, agreed. Great, guys. Thank you for being here. I will see y'all tomorrow. Take care and stay safe, y'all.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye.